Every soul in this world actually came from one soul. But when that one soul fragmented, it had many different routes or pathways that souls followed. Ultimately, we're all one, we're all equal, and we're all here to create love and unity between one another. However, each one of us souls requires a different energy to reach its ultimate perfection. The Kabbalah Center follows a lineage of great Kabbalistic souls who lived thousands and thousands of years ago, who passed down this infinite universal wisdom to each generation until our generation now. And I wanted Marcus to be able to speak a little bit more about the lineage that the Kabbalah Center follows.
Yeah, it's really one of my passion points, because these figures of history are not just icons and great leaders of history. They're spiritual examples. And moreover, they are sources of great energy. And our own ladder of transformation can leverage their previous work and their energy, which still exists for us today, in how we study them, in how we perhaps mirror their own actions and how we connect meditatively to them to lift and progress our spiritual work. So the six main pillars of who the Kabbalah Center's lineage draw from, in that all the wisdom we'll ever discuss through these classes and any other point in the Kabbalah Center will all draw from these pillars of energy, pillars of light, these pillars of wisdom. So let's start 4,000 years ago with Abraham the patriarch, who was the spiritual godfather to so many belief systems around the world. We'll then progress into Moses 3,500 years ago, and then a great Kabbalist called Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the word Rav meaning a spiritual elevated teacher. 500 years ago was a Kabbalist called the Ari, Rav Isaac Luria. In 1922, Rav Ashlag, who opened the Kabbalah Center officially in Jerusalem, and then all the way to the Rav Berg and his wife Karen, who really brought this wisdom to the entire world. Each one of these revered icons in history brought a particular quality, brought a particular trait to the entire world, and in whose study we can glean and leverage into our spiritual progress. So let's start with Abraham. Abraham, who lived 4,000 years ago, Kabbalistically represents an energy of sharing, of love, of grace, of kindness.
And by the way, when we say that that's what they represent, it's because they dedicated their entire lives to living in that specific way. Each one of us has certain talents, certain gifts, and all of us are kind of known for that one thing that we do. So when it comes to spirituality, in this case, Abraham, his main focus was, how can I share more and more outside my comfort zone? And it says that that's why he opened that gate of mercy, love, and sharing for the whole world. So when we study his writings or try to connect to his soul, we can help draw that energy.
Absolutely. I mean, how many times do we try and hit an issue or solve an issue or cognitively grapple with an issue? What Abraham says is stop grappling. Open your heart. Awaken that energy of love in the recesses, the depth of your own soul, and melt the issue.
And the next person being Moses, who obviously has many great qualities, but the one quality he was most known for was his humility. Mm. The ability to be in a position of incredible power, but still not feel that you're better than somebody else, still not feel alienated from other people, still not feel like you're the boss, but you're the equal. Yeah. That was his greatest talent.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you put yourself in a position of service and you feel less than? And his humility is that depth and power of service that gives you the greatness and the power that comes from humility. I think most of us, in trying to qualify ourselves for various positions, we want to be the biggest, the brashest, and the loudest, and his humility won his leadership.
Right. And then the next spiritual icon, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who then took the wisdom that these other great Kabbalists brought and brought it in a more manifested form in writing the books of Kabbalah, which are the Zohar, the volumes of the Zohar, which are the spiritual secrets of the original Old Testament.
Right.
Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it says that he brought those secrets to this world primarily because of, in his time, the love and the unity he had amongst him and his community and his friends.
How interesting that his teacher, Rav Akiva, who was on a greater spiritual level, by himself, with all his great wisdom, could not manifest the secrets of the Zohar, but the unity of the group of Rav Shimon's friends was able.
Right. And it's also important, I want to interject before we go through the rest of the lineage, that in Kabbalah, we don't believe in being subservient or even relinquishing our power to another individual.
Or right? Idolizing the characters.
Or idolizing, right? Because some people might think, well, you know, you're talking about a lineage. Do I have to believe in these people now? Do I have to let go of myself? Isn't that the opposite of what we're learning in Kabbalah? Mm. Be with the Creator. And the ultimate goal is we need to have a direct connection with the light of the Creator. But the beautiful thing is that in this world, there are great souls that we can learn from, that we can energetically connect to and draw from them in order to achieve that connection.
Yeah, they're springboards. They're energy springboards. We can glean energy. In fact, one part is through a study. I'll segue. So one of the more interesting experiences I've had, just to exemplify, these aren't pillars in history that we need to subserve exactly as you say. They are sources of energy. The first Kabbalist I ever went to was an aged Kabbalist in Ukraine from a couple of hundred years ago. His name is Rav Leib Saritz. And his job was to remove pain. He walked around unnoticed.
In his time, when he was alive. Yeah,
from village to village. And his energy, his power, his gift was to remove others' pain. And so as I jumped to go to connect to his resting place, my teacher stopped me and said, you can't connect to him unless you have the affinity of his energy. He said that unless you connect to your pain, he cannot remove your pain. That was interesting to me. So I thought for a few moments about where my pain is, where my process is, where I was resisting that spiritual depth knocking on my door. And I felt a tremendous amount of pain in my own ego and soul as to what I could and should be doing in my spiritual work. As I touched his resting place, this wave of energy literally swept my body and just lifted my pain. And it was the most extraordinary spiritual experience that up until then I really hadn't had. So these figures are very much alive today.
And the truth is, this touches upon the reincarnation that we're speaking about in our live classes, that even though a person passes away, their energy still exists. And we're not limiting it just to this lineage and these great souls. Really, anyone in our lives who's left us, we can still connect to their positive energy, and we should connect to their positive energy. These are just tremendous pillars who devoted their entire lives to just revealing that energy.
Absolutely.
So now we come to Rav Isaac Luria, who was most known for his ability to help people discover their own correction. It says that he worked on his correction so acutely that he also received the ability to help people find the depths of what they needed to change. Literally, anything it was about a person's lives that was stuck or blocked, he had the ability to see or feel it in another individual.
Yeah, I think it definitely, and very importantly, highlights the need for our depth, I think, especially in spiritual pursuits. We go far, we learn a lot. There are lessons after lessons, compounding lessons after lessons, and they're not necessarily getting us deeper. The idea of Kabbalah is it doesn't just teach us, it deepens us. And I think our connection to the Creator, the conversation we can have to our own souls, that relationship, that intimate relationship, our gut, our instinct, our intuition, the messages we can feel from people and things in every facet of our lives, that's what he can give us, depth, personal depth.
And the next spiritual icon would be Rav Yehuda Ashlag, who opened the doors of the Kabbalah Center. And what he was most known for, and again, when we say most known for, we cannot limit these spiritual figures to just one quality, but we're going to focus on one. It's truth. It says that Rav Ashlag was always truthful with himself, with his spiritual work, and with people. And truth doesn't necessarily mean when we're talking to other people, being truthful or not. It more has to do with inside of yourself, is your internal matching your external? Is what you feel inside of you what you're presenting to the world? Are you being honest with yourself in all of your endeavors, especially your spiritual endeavors.
Yeah, it's such a difficult one because, you know, to know yourself is one of the most difficult spiritual, to know yourself.
People are afraid to know themselves.
Because of the lies the ego spins. If you truly knew yourself, if you knew your talents, if you knew your gifts, if you knew everything that was divinely gifted to you by the Creator, if you knew aspects of your soul, if you knew your ego, if you knew exactly what you had to work on and its boundaries, the power you'd feel, the truth, the empowerment you'd feel is mesmerizing.
And the final one would be in our generation, our teacher who we had a very intimate relationship with before he physically left this world is Rav Berg. And what I remember most about Rav Berg and that I, the power and strength that I still can connect with when it comes to Rav Berg is his certainty and his perseverance.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's one of the most extraordinary traits to meet someone that had that amount of strength, because there's a question most of us give up far too early in the pursuit of anything. And to have that trait, to endure every single thing the universe can throw at you, and to be so unwavering in the desire that you have. Most of us sacrifice greatness for goodness. We sacrifice our greatness for so much comfort, for so much mediocrity, that the Rav's energy, the Rav Berg's energy, is an antidote to that lack of endurance, that weakness within.
I think what's incredible about it was that there are so many people who sacrifice to create great things. And what was special about Rav Berg and his wife, Karen, is that they started from nothing. Everything was against them. All adversity was on them to not bring this wisdom out to the world, to the masses. And not only did they do it through tremendous pain and suffering, but they still followed all the spiritual laws along the way. I think that's the key, because we lose ourselves. We get reactive, we get angry, we lose our morale, we lose our spiritual foundation just for the pursuit of a goal. Yeah. They didn't sell out. They made sure to stay true to the spiritual path, because the spiritual path is more important than even bringing the spiritual path out to the world.
Yeah, being, not doing, being. And that's, you know, there's the expression, show, don't tell. They've taught and told so much, but they've unquestionably shown much, much more.
And I want to add now about lineages in general, because we all come from different religious faiths, backgrounds, and spiritualities. And what's important to know is there isn't just one lineage. There are multiple lineages all around the world for every faith. The idea is, through this lesson, is to introduce to you where the Kabbalah Center comes from, so you can be familiar with how we teach our styles and where we draw our wisdom from, but also for you to appreciate where you draw your wisdom from. To know that souls that have lived before you, if you've known them, if you learn from their teachings and their books, you can connect to their positivity to help you in your spiritual path today.